Chapter 12. An Explosion. On their way up to the ninth floor of the hospital, Reggie held Mark's hand. Normally this would have irritated him, but now he was glad to have an adult to hold on to. The moment they got out of the elevator, reporters surrounded them. One of them pushed a microphone near Reggie's face and shouted, "Miss Love, is it true that your client is refusing to cooperate with the FBI?" "No comment," said Reggie, holding Mark's hand tighter. "Keep on walking," she said to Mark quietly. "Don't look at them and don't say a word." Another reporter shouted, "Is it true that you've met with the New Orleans district attorney?" "No comment," Reggie said. "Did Clifford give your client information on Senator Boyett's murder?" shouted another reporter. "No comment," Reggie said and began to walk faster. Suddenly, a photographer jumped in front of them and took their picture. Mark and Reggie kept on walking while all the reporters surrounded them and shouted questions. There was a security guard near the nurse's desk, and when he walked in front of the reporters, they stopped. As Mark and Reggie continued walking down the corridor to Ricky's room, one of the reporters shouted, "Is it true that your client knows where Boyett is buried?" Reggie stopped, but didn't turn round. Mark was glad to see two security guards standing in front of Ricky's closed door. "I'm Reggie Love, the family's attorney," Reggie told them. "And this is Mark Sway, Ricky's brother." "You can go in," said the guard. "Hi," said Dr. Greenway. "Ricky has just fallen asleep, but he was awake and talking for a few hours."
"He asked about you," said Diane to Mark.
It looked to him as if she had been crying.
"What's the matter, Mum?" he asked.
"Nothing," she said, and looked away.
"A few minutes ago, a messenger delivered a letter to your mum," said Dr. Greenway. "She's lost her job."
Mark wanted to cry, but he didn't let himself. Diane put her arms around Mark and said, "It'll be okay. I'll find another job as soon as Ricky's better." A few hours later, Ricky woke up again, and Dr. Greenway decided to try to talk to him about what had happened in the woods.
"Ricky, I want you to tell me about the day that you and Mark went into the woods to smoke cigarettes," said Dr. Greenway quietly.
Ricky looked at Mark, who said,
"It's okay. I told Mum." "I'm not angry with you," Diane assured him.
"Do you remember smoking a cigarette with Mark?"
Dr. Greenway asked.
Nodding his head slowly, Ricky said,
"Yes, I think so."
"Good," said Dr. Greenway. "Now, do you remember seeing a big black car?"
"Yes," said Ricky, looking at the floor. Then suddenly he closed his eyes and began to cry. He didn't respond to anything anyone said to him and was soon asleep again.
"I'm not surprised by his reaction," Dr. Greenway said. "The memory is still too frightening for him. One day soon, he'll be able to talk about it." At exactly 4 a.m., Gronke drove his rented car to the Sway's trailer home. The street was dark and quiet. He got out of the car carrying a box. He put the box against the door of the empty trailer, went back to his car, and drove away. 30 minutes later, the box exploded. It was a small, carefully controlled explosion, meant to blow open the front door and set the trailer on fire. The next-door neighbour was woken by the noise of the explosion. By the time he called 911, the fire had destroyed the Sway's home.